In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, Discipleship Pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. I'm so glad you could join us. We are journeying through the book of Exodus, and we are in chapter 19. The nation of Israel has come to Mount Sinai. It's day 47, and God has come to them and to say how He has brought them out of Egypt and how He's going to provide for them, how He sees them as a special treasure. This is an amazing passage. And so God has looked at the past, talked about the retribution that was brought on Egypt. He talks about how He redeemed His people Israel. But now we come to the present, and it's such a beautiful picture how He describes Israel as a special treasure. And it's a question that we talked about last time. If God has delivered you, then He will not forsake you. This is such an important truth. As He talks to Israel, I've redeemed you, Israel, and I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to provide for you. Hebrews 13, 5-6 reminds of this truth. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And that's a truth for us today as His bride. And that truth was just as truthful back then when God was taking care of Israel in the wilderness. Now, God's going to review some future promises, but they're conditional. They're conditional on if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant. Now, in the Hebrew, indeed obey is actually the Hebrew word is repeated twice. It means listen to obey. And the word keep means to guard, to watch over with diligence. And it's actually the first use of the word keep my covenant. And then third, there's a parallelism here that's important. The only way to keep the covenant is to listen to obey. And that describes devotion. How are you devoted to the Lord? This is such an important aspect of walking with our Savior. Are we living a life that we're devoted to self? Are we living a life devoted to the Lord? There's fruits that can tell you the difference. Now, what does keep my covenant imply? Are we talking full and perfect obedience? Well, first, there's an implication. First, there's the receiving the blessings of the covenant. And second, there's a looking to the new covenant for a Savior. This is so important to understand. Even though we're in the Old Testament, we're really dealing with the Old Covenant. And the Old Covenant was temporary. It was there to serve a purpose until the new covenant could be completed. Hebrews 9:15 gives us some insights. And for this reason, Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Galatians 3:13, Paul writes, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's the first covenant. Having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Galatians further, 3:26, Paul writes, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the woman born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. These are such important truths. In fact, Galatians 3:24 says this about the Old Testament and the law. Therefore, the law was our tutor, to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. So God is setting up this first covenant, which is intended to be temporary. This is why I asked the question earlier about obedience, how this is conditional. It's conditional because there's going to come a point where they're going to break this covenant. And then how is Israel going to be redeemed? How is Israel going to receive all its promises? And so there has to be a new and better covenant in the wings, so to speak. And it's exactly what you and I are experiencing under the new covenant through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are grafted in to the true olive tree. Now, the promise, and I love this word picture, then you shall be a treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. I can't think of a better image at this point that God is giving to Israel, a treasure to God himself. It's showing that this is a relationship that's intimate, and Israel is above all people. They are going to be treated in a way unlike any other nation, past, present, or future. Now, let's break this down. First, look at the theology of it. All the earth is mine. God is saying here, I'm the creator. I'm the owner. I'm sovereign. I'm the God of Israel and all people. Deuteronomy 7:6, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. And the Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself. And here it is again, a special treasure above all peoples on the face of the earth. God has chosen, sovereignly chosen Israel to be his favored people. Now, it's not to say that there isn't favor to other people. It's not a monopoly on God's love for Israel only. But Israel is going to be given some promises and given some advantages that other nations will not have. And that goes back to the will and sovereignty of God. Deuteronomy 26:18. Also today, the Lord has proclaimed you to be a special people, just as he promised you that you should keep his commandments. Notice how there's this relationship and need to be holy and obedient when you have such special favor from the Lord. Psalm 135:4, for the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel for a special treasure. And Malachi 3:17, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Now there's another phrase that comes in. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So not only are they a special treasure, but they're going to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. Now, a kingdom of priests means that they're going to primarily serve God. And therefore, they're going to be interceding on the behalf of men. This is Israel's unique role in the Old Testament. Unfortunately, they break the covenant. And therefore, the church begins to take this role, but in a new way. Israel's not replaced, let me be clear, but they're temporarily set aside for the church to be that servant of God, to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. In fact, listen to the New Testament connection for us, 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you, and here's the key, may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. See, a holy nation means they're unlike the pagan nations who are corrupt in sin that surround Israel. And that's who we are to be today. Not a nation, but a believers, a chosen generation, where we serve God and proclaim the gospel. We are ambassadors. Now, are there any parallels between the calling of Israel as a nation and the calling us of an individual into the body of Christ? I think there is. See, those whom he rescues, he redeems. And out of this redemption, they are to worship and serve out of love and gratitude. See, his redemption should result in a changed heart, a changed life. You're a new creature in Christ. Listen to Hebrews 12:18-24, which looks back on this Mount Sinai event and gives us some insights. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, into blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I'm exceedingly afraid and trembling. Now it turns from that Old Testament image to a New Testament image. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. What an incredible picture, a contrast between Mount Sinai of the past old covenant and Mount Zion, the new covenant, our future. And so as we go through this, I need you to just step back and soak it all in, but be meditative, reflect on the promises you have been given post the cross of Christ. Now let's continue back to Exodus 19, Moses, the messenger and the mediator. Let's pick up at verse 7. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words, which the Lord commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. Now, this is a striking passage because we know the future of Israel. And though they say today, all the Lord has spoken, we will do, we will see later they will fail. Now, Moses goes to the elders and they go to the people. And again, this is a bilateral covenant. What do I mean by bilateral covenant? It's a two-way contract. There is fulfillment on both sides. God says, this is what I'll do. And the people respond, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Think of a software agreement. You got lots of legal language. And then you come to the end of the box and it says, click here to agree. And you're sitting there hesitating. What exactly am I agreeing to? And we kind of out of knee-jerk reaction, because we see these things all the time, we just click and go. But this is exactly what Israel did. Did they really fully understand all that they were agreeing to and that they just clicked and go? And then the truth is, they didn't fully understand. But their heart was in the right place. They desired to seek the Lord and serve and obey him. And that is admirable. And this is really a great picture of God loving his people and his people loving him. And I love this picture again, that there'll be a special treasure to me above all people. Now Moses goes back to the Lord, and the Lord says to Moses, I've come to you in thick, dense cloud. People may hear when I speak with you and believe you, Moses, forever. Moses will hold a special place before the people of Israel. So here's the question as we wrap up. Are you truly, with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, do you desire and effort yourself to do all that the Lord has spoken? Not to save yourself, but to show him your gratitude for redeeming you out of sin. Well, thanks for joining us for this week, and may you walk closely with the Lord.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at the Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about the Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.